That's really good. Nobody up here is either. What? So that's pretty good. Hey, are you looking up here? Do you see something different? What do you see different? What's clearer? The screen, the images on the screen, both screens. Do you see how clear this one is? So now it's not your eyesight. It hasn't been your eyesight. So you can cancel your eye doctor appointment. Okay. All right. We got new projectors. Woo-hoo! Aren't those nice? We also have if you haven't seen it, well, Jack, you've seen it, right? We have this new decibel meter. So the louder that it goes, that means the louder that I'm talking. So that's really good. It also has the time, the temperature in here. So if you wonder, is it hot in here? You can turn around and look, but it won't do anything. So won't matter, but you can look anyway. All right. So some cool things we got. Isn't that great? God is so good. Yes. And so we need to thank Jared for taking care of this. Jared, where'd you get that shirt?
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii. Whoa. All right.
It's
well, that's
90 degrees today. If, I gotta wear something light.
If nothing else is going to keep you awake, it'll be Jared's shirt. That's for sure. All right. Okay. We are so glad that you are here with us this morning. Hopefully when you came in, you received the bulletin. If so, take it out. Let's go over the things. This morning we have our morning worship service. No activities this week because we're on our summer schedule. We are just so glad that you are here. Next Sunday, we're going to be observing communion, so that means we will also be receiving an offering for the Benevolent Fund, so hopefully you can be prepared for that. Also, out on the information table, we have new our Daily Bread devotional books. They start the 1st of June, so they're out there for you to be able to take, and hopefully you'll be using them to be able to study God's word, all right? And so they're out there on the offering table, on the information table. All right, are you all glad you're here?
Yes.
Yes, you're awake now? Because you all got a load of Jared's shirt? Okay, all right. So if nothing else, just concentrate on his shirt and you'll stay awake, right? All right, are you ready to worship?
Let's worship the Lord, not my shirt.
Yeah, no, we're not worshiping your shirt. We're just using it as a tool. It's just a resource. All right. Okay, let's praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Would you stand up on your feet this morning? We're going to start off with, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Okay, as you sing these words, join me as we are rejoicing with the Lord. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is a day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Give the Lord a round of applause. He's good. He's worthy of our praise. Come on.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of Peace, mighty God. Oh Lord God Almighty. Oh Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Oh Lord, we magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God. Oh Lord God Almighty.
All right, go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. We are here for one person, one alone, and that's Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Lord, we believe that you are a fortress. You are a hope. In you, all things, Lord, are possible. It's because of you that we're here today, both spiritually, physically. Lord, it's for you. So God, as we worship you today, as we remember you, Jesus, what you did for us, Lord, as we remember the hope that we have in you, Lord, would you build us up today? Lord, would you take the throne of our lives? We love you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. The prodigal is welcomed home, the sinner now a saint. For the God who died came back to life, and everything was changed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your power? The mighty King of Kings has disarmed you, delivered and redeemed. Eternal life is ours. Oh, praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. And on the day you call me in to heaven's sweet embrace, I'll see your scars, your open arms, the beauty of your face. And through tears of joy I'll lift my voice in everlasting praise. Hallelujah. Christ Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your power? Oh, the mighty King of Kings has disarmed you, delivered and redeemed. Eternal life is ours. Oh, praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave.
Amen. Isn't that great news? We'll see our Savior someday face to face in heaven. What an amazing day that'll be. Amen. Amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and we got one more song for you. All this is for a purpose, right? We sing about Jesus for a reason. It's to remind ourselves, to remind us of the truth. We sing about how awesome he is and the future that he's prepared for us. Why? So that we can go through this life day to day and honor him and glorify him. So when we sing this next song, Back to Life, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. For I've been born again. I've been born again. Christ didn't die and raise again for nothing. He did so that you can be born again. My heart is free. The hope of heaven before me. The grave is behind me. Hallelujah. You've brought me back to life. Lord, would you take what we have to give, not just our finances, but Lord, our worship. Lord, would you take all that we are? Would you multiply it and use it for your glory? Lord, take us out into this world to be your hands and feet. Lord, help us to honor you with all that we are. In the name of Jesus, amen. I won't forget the moment I heard you call my name. Out of the grip of darkness into the light of grace. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. Where there was dead religion, now there is living faith. All of my hope and freedom are found in Jesus' name. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. No longer I who live, but Christ in me. For I've been born again, my heart is free. The hope of heaven before me, the grave behind, hallelujah. You brought me back to life. When something says I am guilty, I'll point to the price you paid. When something says I'm not worthy, I'll point to that empty grave. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. No longer I who live,
but Christ in me. For I've been born again, my heart is free. The hope of heaven before me, the grave behind, hallelujah. You brought me back to life. How can I begin to thank you for all that you've done for me? Jesus, to fully praise you, it will take all eternity. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. Oh, you brought me back to life. Oh, you brought me back to life. Yeah, no longer I you live, but Christ in me. For I've been born again, my heart is free. The hope of heaven before me, the grave behind, hallelujah. You brought me back to life. No longer I you live, but Christ in me. For I've been born again, my heart is free. The hope of heaven before me, the grave behind, hallelujah. You brought me back to life, hallelujah. You brought me back to life.
Amen. Are you blessed today? Are you alive today? Nothing better than to be alive in Christ. Amen. And when we stand in his presence, we are going to be more alive than at any time ever before in our whole lives. I can't wait for that day. I know you can't either. So that's really great. All right, kids, come on down and we'll get you ready for Children's Church. Lord, we are just amazed at how good you are to us. Father, you've given us this time to gather together. You've given us this time to raise our voices in praise to you. Now you've given us this time to be able to open our hearts and our minds to what you have to share with us this morning. And Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open. I pray that whatever distractions we might have come with, Father, we will just set them off to the side, that we may truly hear your voice. And not just hear your voice, but follow your will, follow your way. Be involved in the mission that you have for each and every one of us to be able to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, continuing on in our study of the book of Acts. And last time we were in our study of the book of Acts, we were encouraged, remember, to follow the example of Peter and John in God's mission. And this was the main idea. We must follow God's game plan for the church. In order for the church to be effective and successful in God's mission, we have to follow the plan that God has laid out for us, the game plan that he's given to us. As individual members of the church, we need to follow that game plan in order for our lives to be effective and to be able to be successful as we are involved in the mission that God has given to us. See how it all fits together? I hope you're getting that picture, that it's all fit together. And this was our main idea, following the game plan. And we were given the key parts of the game plan. And let me just remind you of what those were. We're to recognize that there will be opposition. We live in a culture that has changed and is constantly changing. And therefore, because the culture is changing farther and farther away from God, farther and farther away from the truths of God's word, there's going to be opposition. And remember, we talked about the fact we shouldn't be surprised, because Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Remember that? So we need to recognize that there will be opposition. We need to teach the resurrection of Jesus. We need to follow God's Spirit. We need to tell people to believe in Jesus as Savior. And we talked about the fact that sometimes, as human beings, there's this fear of being able to tell people about Jesus, tell people about what Jesus has done for us, tell people about what Jesus has done for them, tell people about what Jesus has done for the world by going to the cross to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's this fear that we have. Can I tell you something? People are hungry to hear that. They are wanting to hear that. I don't know how many times in the last few weeks I've had the opportunity to be able to tell people about Jesus. And you know what? I didn't get persecuted. I didn't get put in jail. The roof didn't cave in. It was okay. And you know what? They received it. They welcomed it. Why? Because there's this hunger to be able to tell people about it's important to believe in Jesus as Savior. We talked about that part of the game plan was to spend time with Jesus, not just on Sunday morning, but all throughout the week. We need to speak up for Jesus, and we're going to expand upon this morning. If you've already opened up your bulletin and you've already turned to the back and you've already seen the title for today's message, it says Speak Up for Jesus, based upon part of one of the points of the game plan that God has given to us. We need to speak up for Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what that means here in just a moment. And then to bring glory to God. Now you might be thinking, so Pastor, why is the game plan necessary? Why is the game plan for the church necessary? The game plan for the church is necessary because the culture changes. The culture changes. The things that we are dealing with in our culture today, we weren't dealing with 30 years ago or even 20 years ago. Some of these same things we're dealing with in our culture today, we weren't even dealing with 10 years ago. Do you see how it changes? And do you see how, as history progresses, that cultural change changes quicker and quicker and quicker? And so therefore, we have to have a game plan, and we have to stick to the game plan, because the mission of God doesn't change. God's game plan doesn't change, even though the culture does. I hope you get that this morning. Robert spent this past year in our adult Sunday school class talking about the collision that takes place when the culture comes up against Christianity. And there were three key takeaways from this study. I'm going to take all that he taught and condense it down for you, because I don't have time for him to come up and do it all over again, and I don't have time to do it for you this morning. So we're going to condense it down. Here's the three takeaways. What was universally condemned is now celebrated. That be fair, Robert? Okay. What was universally celebrated is now condemned. That fair? Robert? Okay. And those who refuse to celebrate what is now the thing to celebrate in our culture are condemned. Those who celebrate, those who refuse to celebrate. One of the observations was that as the culture and our spiritual living collides, it is hard for believers to know how to navigate the culture and to speak up for Jesus at the same time. Hopefully, this message is going to help you with that this morning. At this time in history, when we speak up for Jesus, we need to be bold and don't fold when hard times come. If you don't take anything else away from this message this morning, take that. Be bold and don't fold when hard times come. So our text today is Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 31. And I want to go back and set the context for you. When Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, they encountered a lame man who was healed in the name of Jesus. And once healed, he started leaping and praising God. And then Peter had the opportunity to preach a sermon. And in that sermon, he outlined God's game plan for the church, and we've already covered that. And when the religious elite heard about this, when they heard this sermon, they were annoyed and they arrested Peter and John. And so here's what's going to happen next. So hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 4. Follow along as I read verses 23 through 31. When they were released, who's the they? Peter and John. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with what? Boldness. Speak the word with boldness. Speak the word of God with boldness. You know what that means? That means speak up for Jesus, even in a constant, continuing change in culture. Now, there are three central things that should be evident as we speak up for Jesus. Here's the first one. We need to be proactive. Look at verse 23 again. When Peter and John were released, they went to their friends and reported that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So, how do we be proactive to be able to speak up for Jesus? Number one, we need to lean on others for support. Find support from others. God did not design you. He did not design me. He did not design his mission. He did not give us the game plan to be able to help carry out his mission as a church for us to do it by ourselves. He gave us others. Others in our church family. Other believers who he has placed in our life. We need to find support from others. Notice the first thing that Peter and John did when they were released from jail is to what? Go to others, to join together with other people. Now, some translations use the word companions. Another translation says they went to their own people. Whatever. They went to find support from who? Others. And who? Other believers. Peter and John knew that they needed to be with those who had been praying for them. So do you have a group of people you can go to when the going gets tough? Or do you try to do it on your own? And who are those people? If I was to ask you individually, tell me the name of some of the people that when things get difficult, when things get hard, when you need some spiritual help, who are the people that you go to? Can you tell me them? Or do you have to go, not that person. You see, we need to have people that we can go to and say, you know what? I'm going through this. Can you pray with me? Because that's what Peter and John did. What a great example. Warren Wiersbe says, one of the tests of a believer's character is where they find fellowship and companionship. You know what? Can I clue you in on something? One of the best places to find that support from other believers is in your church family. Is in your church family. But if you never call on them, if you never take the opportunity to get to know them, if you ever never sit down to be able to talk with them outside of these four walls on Sunday morning, then that support is not going to be available to you. You need to make it available to you. Some of us need to start hanging out with new people who will build us up instead of tearing us down. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. In Nelson Mandela's autobiography, He says it was the relationships in prison on Robben Island that got him through 30 years of suffering. He says the authorities' greatest mistake was to keep us together. For together, our determination was reinforced. We supported each other and gained strength from each other. Whatever we knew, whatever we learned, we shared. And by sharing, we multiplied whatever courage we had individually. The stronger ones raised up the weaker ones, and both became stronger in the process. You know what? That took place in a prison. Can you imagine what would happen if that took place in a church? Can you imagine what would happen in this community, in this culture, if it happened here at Lake Hazel Bible Church? That's why having a church family is so important. We need each other. We also need to focus on God's purposes. Verse 24 tells us that when these faithful friends heard the report from Peter and John, they raised their voices together and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them," because they gathered as God's people, the first thing that they did was praise and pray together. Isn't that good? That when we come together on Sunday morning, we just don't stand around and drink coffee, right? We just don't talk about the weather. We don't talk about Jared's shirt, right? We talk about what? We talk about Jesus. We talk about God. We talk about how God used us in his mission these last few days or these last few weeks. We talk about what God has done in our lives. We talk about the blessings that God has sent our way. And we have people around us that we can talk about when there's challenges that come into our lives as well. Notice what they didn't do. They didn't complain to the authorities. They didn't organize a protest, attack the religious elites, or boycott the temple. They were sincere and unified as they offered urgent and unselfish adoration to God. What an example that is. And then we need to be a person of the Word of God. Did you notice how they moved from the God of creation to the God of revelation? What a great move that is for all of us. One of the best ways to change your thoughts is to fill your mind with the Word of God. Not the things of the culture, but the Word of God. Look at verse 25. It says, "Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit." Here we see both the human and divine element of God's inspiration. The words came through David's mouth, but the message was from whom? The Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Word of God came as people were moved by the Holy Spirit to be able to what? Write down. To be able to record. And then God took what they wrote down and preserved it. And today we have the Word of God that we carry around. We have the Word of God that we bring to church with us. We have the Word of God that we focus on in church. We have the Word of God that we can look and read and study anytime during the week. You all have Bibles in your houses, right? If you don't, come and see me afterwards and we'll fix that. We'll take care of that. We'll get you a Bible. We need to be people of the Word of God because these were people of the Word of God. They understood God was weaving his will and his ways according to his sovereignty. God is absolutely sovereign. I know that you all believe that. You may not fully understand it, but I know you all believe it. And we are responsible for how we respond to him. The second way that we can speak up for Jesus is we need to be prayerful. How do we do that? Well, there's several things that should take place in our lives in order for that to happen. We need to ask God to see our need. Did you see what it said in verse 29? They prayed and they said, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats." They're simply asking God to pay attention to what is being done to them. And then they leave the matter with him. They go to God and they say, "God, would you please do this?" And then they, what? Left it with God. Oftentimes when we pray, we say, "God, will you do such and such? Would you do so and so?" And then what do? We take it back and we try to do such and such and so. Instead of just saying, "God, in your time, in your way, in your will, I know that you're going to work it out." Just a couple days ago, I had the opportunity of being able to help somebody, to be able to say, listen, I have this burden. I have this thing that's going on in my life, and I have a lot of unanswered questions. And to be able to take them to the Word of God and to be able to show them how God might have already answered some of those questions on their hearts. And then to encourage them to take what their burden is and to take it to God. And then to encourage them to what? Leave it there. And that person said, you know, I have a habit of taking things to God, but I have another habit of taking it back from Him shortly after I give it to Him. And I said, okay, we need to break that second habit. Once you take it to God, you trust that in His way, in His will, in His time, He's going to what? Answer that prayer. That's what they did. These persecuted people are simply affirming the truth that God sees and knows everything. And they believe that He answers their prayers. Do you believe that God answers your prayers? Because God does. As we've talked about before, God sometimes says, wait, we don't like that. We like it when He says yes. We live with it when He says no. When He says wait, yeah, not so much. Or sometimes He says, my grace is all you need. Just rest in my grace. Well, we don't like that, right? Because that takes what? Time. That takes what? Patience to be able to do that. Some of us don't think we have a lot of time or a lot of patience. Notice they see themselves as servants. They ask God not only to look upon the threats of the authorities, but they ask God to enable them to speak with boldness. It's incredible that in the midst of so much opposition, these believers asked for boldness. They didn't ask God for their problems to go away. They asked for boldness. They asked for power, not protection. Look at the second half of verse 29. And grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with what? All boldness. Notice they see themselves as servants. Servants before a sovereign God. This is actually the word servants here is actually the word for slaves. And back then, slaves were expected to render absolute submission and unconditional obedience to their master. And so these servants are literally praying and asking God, grant us now with all boldness to go on speaking. And then ask God to do only what God can do. Ask God to see your need. Ask God to enable you to speak with boldness. And then ask God to do only what He could do. Look at verse 30. They said, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. You see, these miracles, these signs, and these wonders provided authenticity of God's mission and gave credibility to the believers involved in God's mission. It shows the people who were observers of God's mission that God's power and presence was real and relevant. And that hasn't changed. No matter how many centuries has passed from then till now, it hasn't changed. When God decides to do something beyond our imagination, beyond our capability, He is providing for us authenticity of His mission. And He gives credibility to those of us that are choosing to be involved in God's mission. We need to pray and ask God to do only what He can do. We need to pray and ask God to do only what He can do here in the people and in the ministries of Lake Hazel Bible Church. And then stand back and watch Him do it. There's another way for us to be able to speak up for Jesus, and that's we need to be prepared. Because God will do what we can't. And sometimes God does what we can't do by shaking things up. I'm not sure these trustworthy disciples were fully prepared for what happened next in verse 31. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. The word for shaken means an unexpected rocking, waving, and tottering. Something happened when they came together to pray. Something happened when they came together in unity. Something happened when they prayed and they said, God, we know that you have called us to be involved in your mission. Give us the boldness to be able to speak up for Jesus. And God answered their prayer almost immediately by what? Shaking the place in which they were in. You know, something similar happened when Paul and Silas were singing praises when they were in prison. And this is recorded for us in Acts chapter 16. And when we get to Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at this in greater detail. Something shaking in God's word demonstrates his presence with his people. Before God gave Moses the Ten Commandments to give to the Israelites, Mount Sinai, remember, was shaking. We studied that in Exodus chapter 19. Sometimes God shakes things up in our lives in order to get our attention. Not only will God do what he can do, but God will use his Holy Spirit. Look at what it says in verse 31. We see that God is the one who does the filling, and they were all filled with the what? Holy Spirit. Notice it wasn't just some, but all of them. We've been saying this over and over again. Every believer, at the moment that they believe in Jesus as Savior, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're filled to the same degree. I don't have more of the filling of the Holy Spirit than anybody else. Sometimes people will say to me, well, Pastor, you have a stronger connection with God than I do. No. Nope. I may know more about God's word, but my connection with God isn't any stronger than anybody else's. My filling of the Holy Spirit isn't any different than anybody else's. God may have gifted me because of his Holy Spirit filling me differently than he's gifted you, but it has nothing to do with the amount of filling. You all understand that, right? Okay? So this is the third time that we see Peter speaking up for Jesus as he is being led not by his own power, not by his own persuasion, not by his own speech, but by God's Spirit. And the word filled here means to make full, to be complete. My ongoing prayer is that God would do the same in all of us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. We can only imagine what God could do in and through us if each and every one of us was fully filled with God's Holy Spirit. Our church would be different, and our community would be different, and our culture could be different as well. Not only will God use his Holy Spirit, but God will bring boldness. It's fascinating how the filling of the Holy Spirit is often linked to boldness as we serve in God's mission. And we'll see this over and over and over again as we continue our study here in the book of Acts. Now, the word boldness means the ability to speak freely and frankly. And it is in the imperfect tense, meaning it happened over and over and over again. Let me give you some verses just from the book of Acts that reinforce this. Acts chapter 9, verse 27 tells us Barnabas vouched for Paul's conversion, pointing out how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, and Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly. Acts chapter 14 and verse 3, so they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord. Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, and he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 26, verse 26, for the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. And then the very last verse in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, verse 31, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ without all boldness and without hindrance. So are you a bold believer being involved in God's mission? Or are you an undercover believer in God's mission? You know, it's a well-known fact that today most believers do not talk about their faith or church. More than ever, because of the constant, continual change in our culture, more than ever, God wants and needs believers who are bold. God doesn't need a silent majority, but he could use a bold remnant. Would you be part of that? That's the mission that God has for you. That's the mission that God has for me. That's the mission that God has for us. So let's go back to a statement I made early on in our message this morning. Be bold and don't fold when times are hard. Be bold. Don't fold when hard times come. I want to close by sharing this with you. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His, and I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right or first or tops or recognized or praised or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by Holy Spirit power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Jesus. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, speak up for Jesus until all know, and serve Him until He comes. And when He does come for His own, He'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Can you, will you speak up for Jesus? Father, I pray that You'll help us to be the people that You desire for us to be, who speak up for You boldly. Father, I pray that You will allow us to be the church, Lake Hazel Bible Church, that in this community, in this culture, that speaks up for Jesus and speaks up boldly. Oh, Father, I pray, give us what it is that You know we need to be those kinds of people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me as we sing this last song? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Have a great day in the name of our Lord.